We're on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara. Okay, Mani Reb Meir. Our Mishnah, the Chora goes like Reb Meir. The part of the Mishnah we're referring to is that if a person didn't write a ksuba, the Besula always gets 200, and the Almana 100, and there's no way of circumventing that. The Amar Kol Apoches LeBesulin Masayin LaAlmana Mimana Hareza BeIlas Nuchs. Reb Meir holds that if you give anything less to a Besula than 200, an Almana 100, then the you're not allowed to live with the woman. So it's BeIlas Nuchs. Rabbi Huda, one second. The Rabbi Huda, because if it would go according to Rabbi Huda, it can't be. The Amar, because Rabbi Huda said, Ratsa Kosei V'Besula Shtar Shal Masayim. It's possible for a woman to be mochel her ksuba while she's married. After she gets divorced or whatever, she can do whatever she wants. Right? She can decide not to take the ksuba. But while she's married, she has to have that chiyuv to her. Rabbi Huda holds not like that. Rabbi Huda says, Ratsa Kosei V'Besula Shtar Shal Masayim. The Hiko Sevis is Kabalti Mimcha Mone. He can write a ksuba to a psula 200, and she writes him a receipt. I received 100 in payment already, and that's okay. She could be mochel half of the ksuba if she wants, or all of it. La'almana mana the hush ratzah kosel psula shtar shel masayim v'hiko sevis kabalti mimcha mana la'almana mana v'hiko sevis kabalti mimcha chamishim zuz. And almana same thing. She could be mochel half the ksuba if she wants. And it's okay. So the Mishnah says, not like that. Mishnah says, if you didn't write a ksuba, the besula gets 200 and that's it. It's a tnai beizdin that she must get the 200. So Mar says, Ema Seifa. If that's the case, so the ratio goes like Reb Meir and not like Reb Yehuda. So look at the Seifa. Kosovla sada shavet mana tachas masayim zuz. Velo kosovla kol nechosim di isli achroin l'ksuba seich. Chayiv shu tnai beizdin. So Essen Rabbi Yehuda, the Omer Achraish Tol Soferhu. The Sefer says like this. Sefer says that if he wrote in the Shtar that the only property he's leaning to the Ksuba is a property worth 100 zuz, not 200. So the halacha is that the entire, all of his property is leaned, whether he said it or not, and not only is that one property leaned, but enough to cover the whole ksuba's lien, because that's what Tznai based it. So Gemara says that has to go according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Omer Achrayis Tov Soferhu. The Ir of Meir, Ha Omer Achrayis Lav Tov Soferhu. You get to a second what that means. But it means like this. If you wrote a shtar and you didn't put in there that you're leaning your property to the debt, right? You wrote an IOU, and you didn't put in there that you're leaning your property to the debt. So Reb Yehuda holds that we assume that he means to lean his property, and just the sofer left it out. It was a mistake. But the property is leaned, whether it's written in the shtar or it's not written in the shtar. And Reb Meir holds, no. If you write in the shtar that you're leaning your property, it's leaned, and if not, it's not. Okay. You don't say that it's a mistake of the sofer, he left it out. It was left out on purpose. There's no intention over here of having a lien on the property. Disnan, where do we find that machlokas? Mosa shitre chov. The person found a star chov. He found a star that said Ruven owes Shimon $100. So the halacha is, im yesh bohem achrayis nechosim lo yachzer. Right? Shebez nifroy mehem. If it's written in the shtar that there is a lien on the property, right? There's a chrayis. Ruvain owes Shimon $100, and Ruvain leaned his property to Shimon. You don't return it, right? You can't return it. Why? Because we may be hurting the lekuchos. Maybe this debt was paid, and Ruvain really paid up the debt, and you can't return it to Shimon because maybe Ruvain paid the debt. Right? And he lost the shtar. He got it back and he lost it. You can't even give it back to Reuven. Give it back to Reuven. What difference does it make? If he paid it, what's it called? Fine. If he didn't pay it, right? And even if Reuven is, what's called, maybe Shimon, Reuven didn't pay the debt. And he still owes Shimon the money. He can't give it back to Reuven. Let's give it to Shimon if Reuven admits that he didn't pay the debt. No, you can't do that either. Because even if Reuven admits that he didn't pay the debt, right, that he didn't pay the debt, maybe he's lying, and he really did. And he made up with Shimon, well, now you don't have any money, so we'll go collect this field from the one that it's meshubet to, and we'll split it. So we'll what's it called, steal the field away from the one you sold it to. So if there's achrayus, you can't give it back to anybody. Can't give back to Reuven, because maybe he didn't pay the debt. Can't give it back to Shimon, because maybe he did. Can't even give it back to Shimon if Reuven admits he didn't pay the debt, because maybe they're conspiring to hurt the lekuchos. Ain't b'em achrayis nechosim yavzim. But if there's no achrayis nechosim, you could give it back. Right? Give it back either to Shimon if Reuven admits that he didn't pay the debt, or what that there. Shein beis nefroin lehem, because you won't collect from that anything except the debt itself. Divir of Meir, as Meir says, the Chachomim omrim, echad zev lo yavzer, because the Chachomim is Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that achrayis is tos sofer, even if it doesn't say the property is lien, it's automatically lien. So mele, the same halach applies whether it says in the shtar that it's lien or not. Shebeis nefroin lehem. So it comes out that the reish is Rabbi Meir, who says that the woman can't forfeit any of her ksuba. She always has to have a ksuba of 200 or 100, as long as she's married. The sefer Rabbi Yehuda, and the sefer goes like Rabbi Yehuda, that if he didn't write the lien, it's leaned anyway. Okay, see Rashi. Let's see the problem over here. Plugsa de Rabbi Meir of Rabbi Yehuda, Perek Afalpi. This machlokus, whether a woman can forfeit her ksuba if she wants to, is a machlokus with Meir Rabbi Yehuda later on in Afalpi. The hiko sevis is kabalti, loshen shover. She writes him a receipt as if she received half the ksuba, meaning she's mochel half the ksuba. Rafil lo niskal, if she doesn't receive anything. It's basically she's saying, I mochel it. Rabbi Meir ini yecholalim chol bolder tachta. According to Rabbi Meir, she can't be mochel her ksuba as long as she is married. Nora thinks now that even if she's mochel the ksuba, he still has to pay her the 200. She can't be mochel. That's what we think now. So it only goes according to Rabbi Meir, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, she could be mochel. Achrayin leksuba seichayiv shenishtab in the chosav. Right? If he, didn't write in the shtar that he's leaning all of his property, so then only that one field is leaned. The Mishnah says that all of his property is leaned, even if he didn't write all the properties leaned. We think now that when it says that it's leaned, it means it's leaned for any way that that leans help on a chov. That is, if he sold the field, he can go collect it from the lokeach. Esen Rabbi, that goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Omer Shtar Shalom Nichta Bo Achrayis Lo Midas Hamalva Nase El Sofer To. If it doesn't say that the property is leaned in the Shtar, it's not because it's not lean, it's because the Sofer forgot it. The Harihu Kamisha Nichta the Torah Min Hashubadim, and it's as if it would be written, and you could collect from a lean property, that you could collect the debt from land that he sold to somebody else after the debt was made. The Rishonim over here ask the Chora if it's a Tznai Beisdin. Right? That's what it seems from the Mishnah. That even if I didn't lean my property to the Ksuba, it becomes leaned automatically. What does that have to do with the Machlokus of Achrayis Tov Sofer? Achrayis Tov Sofer is by a regular debt where you could lean your property or you could not lean your property. Question is, if you didn't put it in the Shtar, is it a mistake and you really meant to lean the property? Or no, if you didn't write it in, then you didn't lean the property. That's a stam machlokas. But over here, it's a tnai based in, just like if you didn't write a ksuba, you have to pay the 200. If you didn't write that you're leaning your property, it's automatically leaned. So here it's mashma that it's not like that. It's totally in the machlokas of achrayis tol sofer or not. Not a tnai based in. So some Rishonim learn because of that, that there is no tnai based in that all the property has to be leaned. That is dependent on achrayis tol sofer. However, the rabbanim were misakin that you should lean your property, not that it's automatically leaned, that you should do it. Then the shaila is, if you didn't do it, is that a mistake, or is that, what's it called, is that talk of the fact? That's one way of learning. Another way of learning is that, right, the Rabbanan said that, that's pretty much the easiest way of understanding it. There's no real takanas based in that you have to, that the property is automatically leaned. It's not automatically lean, but the Tzakonis Beis Din was, you should lean your property to the Ksuba. Then, if you didn't, then there's a shaila whether that's a tos or not. But it's not automatically leaned. Okay. So now Rashi later, Yesh ben achrayis nechosim, sheshibed lo venechosiv laosom milde, lo yachzirenu motso lemalde, vafilu halova molde shuchayiv lo. Right, Yivadi can't return this shtar to the lova, the malva, if neither of them agrees that it was paid or wasn't paid. You can't give it back to the lova because maybe he didn't pay yet. You can't give it to the malva because maybe he did pay. But let's say the lova says, I didn't pay, give it back to the malva. We don't give it back to him either. Because since we're going to be able to collect now from fields he sold after the debt, right, if in fact the lova paid the debt, then there's no reason for him to collect from those fields, and basically they could make a conspiracy to take the field away from the buyer. Mufarish Hashem, the Chayshin and Shema Pro were afraid maybe Reuven paid the debt, Umin Halova Nothel, and he got the shtar back, and he lost it. And now he's telling you, no, I didn't pay the debt, give it back to Shimon, and then Shimon's gonna go and take property that Reuven sold, and take it away from the Lokeach, and then Reuven and Shimon will split it up. The Zeshu Moda Atzas Knun Yehiv Beinayim made a conspiracy. Litrov Lekuchos V'Yichalku Beinayim. The Chachamim Omrim, the Achrayis Tol Sofer, the Chachamim, who is Rabbi Yehuda, holds that the fact that you didn't write the lien in the shtar is no indication there's no lien. It's just a mistake of the Sofer. The Torah Mishabdei is still the same thing can happen even if it doesn't say in the shtar that it's lean. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir were antagonists constantly. So if it says Chachon, it means Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so we have a question that the Reisha is Rabbi Meir and the Seifa is Rabbi Yehuda. Reisha Rabbi Meir, the Seifa Rabbi Yehuda. The Chitei Makula Rabbi Meir, he the Shani Leila Rabbi Meir Ben Ksuba Lishtori, right? And if you'll say the whole thing is Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir only holds that by what's it called, by a Ksuba, that we do say that Achrayis Tol Sofer. By regular Shtoras we don't say that it's a Tol Sofer, but by a Ksuba we say it is, since it's a Takonis based in that you must lean your property. Even if you didn't write it in the shtar, we assume that's what you meant, but not by other shtaras. Versus Mishanile, it's not true. Rameir makes no distinction between a ksuba and other shtaros whether achrayis is tol sofer or not. V'atanya, chamisha govin min hamechurorin ve'iluhein. Five people can collect only from not lien property. In other words, property that the person who owes the money has in his possession, not that he sold it to somebody else and you're taking it away because of the lien. Ve'eluhim. Peros, ushvach peros, see one second what it is. Vamekabel olav lozun is ben ishto, ubas ishto, the get chov shein bo achrayis, uksubas isha shein bo achrayis. These five things, see Rashi, peros ushvach peros, kinisnam mesechus gittin. Ein motzin machilus peros uleshvach karkos minachosim mishubadim mivnei tikkun ha'olam. Right, uveshnayim olsin betalus meforish. What is this case? Lachilus peros uleshvach karkos ketzot harishigozel soda mechavero umachro la'acher. A guy stole the field. Reuven stole the field from Shimon, and he sold it to Levi. He sold the stolen field to Levi. The hishbicha, and Levi went and he worked the field. And he got payers from the field, and he got what's it called, and he improved the field, planted trees. The Hari Yotzer Bedin. And then we find out that it's a stolen field. and it doesn't, didn't belong to Reuven who sold it to him, it belonged to Shimon who he stole it from. So Vayotze Midim Mitachas Yad Elokeach Im Shevach Sheshbiach. Then the field goes back with the tree and with all the improvements, right? Sheshbiach Elokeach Bezevel Uvenir, all the expenses he put into the field. The Impero Shabbat Shanigzul Tarfa Mimenu. Right, and it goes back with all the fruit that's growing, or all the grain that's growing in the field, goes back to the person who was stolen from. Shuchozer al hamocher shemachro lo bachrayus. Right, when he goes back to the ganav who sold it to him, and he leaned the property, he can only collect kerem min chosim shubadim. He can only collect the actual cost of the field from the lien property. The shevach min chosim b'nechorin, but the improvements he can only collect from the ganav if the ganav has money. But if the ganav has no money, and the only property is lien property, you can't collect from that. The lomen amishubadim, and they tikkun ha'olam. L'fisha ain't suvin, they don't lokech yodea, but kamali zor. This tikkun ha'olam, nobody buy fields. People be afraid to buy anything. So I can always check up and see if the field is leaned or not. But how much it is going to be, what's it called, if it improves or whatever, that's something that has no set amount. So therefore, you can't collect something with a not set amount from lien property, because the guy's not going to be out by a field. I understand I could lose the field, but I'm going to lose all my improvement that go into it too, and I don't know how much that's going to be. So you'll have second thoughts about buying a field. V'hamakablo loves lozum ben ishto bas ishto afu en gova min amishubad and v'shein ksuvin. V'hein ksuvin. Same thing. A person accepts to support his wife's, his stepchildren. Right, his wife's children. So there also, there's no limit. So that, what's it called? That kind of debt is, doesn't have a set amount. A debt that has a set amount. Reuven owes Shimon $100. So that can be, it can lean. But I open-ended, I'm going to support them. Who knows how much it is? So nobody's going to be able to, what's it called, buy a field and not know what it's leaned to. Right, it says in Hanosi that, what's it called, that they could collect from Mishubadim, right? Even Mechasim Shubadim. That's talking where they made a kinyan, right? Since they made a kinyan, they're on the amount there, and the registrar, that is Meshubit. The get chov, co-stars, the grant get, regular debt is only leaned if it's written in a star. If it's a milva al peh, or it's not written in the star achrayis, then it's not leaned. And ksuba, also the same thing. So you see, the Reb Meir holds, right, that, man shamas le dom achrayis lav tosover. Who's the one who holds that if you write a shtar and don't mention the lien, that the property is not leaned by a regular debt? Rav Meir. Uktani ksuba sisha. And it says a ksuba is the same halacha. So you can't say that Rav Meir distinguishes between a ksuba and a regular debt, that a regular debt, if you didn't write the achrayis and the shtar, it's not included. But a ksuba it is, because the Rabbanan said you have to lien your property. We say that there's no difference. The Gemara says, "Yiboy same Reb Meir, Yiboy same Reb Yehuda." No, you could say that our Mishnah either goes according to Reb Meir completely or Reb Yehuda completely. Not like we said that the Reisha is Reb Meir, that a woman can't forfeit her ksuba, and the Seifa is Reb Yehuda, who says that the lien takes effect no matter what. No, could be either one. Yiboy same Reb Yehuda, Hasam Kosva Leis Kabalti, Hachalo Kosva Leis Kabalti. When does Reb Yehuda say that she can't forfeit her ksuba? If she doesn't say, as if I got it. So you can't, the man can't, what's it called, give her less than 200. But if she willingly forfeits it, even Rabbi Yehuda holds she could forfeit it. So the whole Mishnah could be Rabbi Yehuda. The ratio that says that you can't forfeit is where she didn't openly forfeit it. The man wanted himself to, what's it called, to give her less. That's what's it called, that can't be. Iboy Yisema Reb Meir, or the whole Mishnah could be Reb Meir. What's the problem with Reb Meir? Achrayis Tola Sofer. That in the end, we say that even if he didn't write in the Shtar that it's leaned anyway. L'chor, that's Reb Yehuda. And one says, no. My Chayiv, Ditani, Minam Mechurorim. when it says that even if he didn't lean the field, that he's chayev, it doesn't mean that his sold fields are lean. It means whatever he has is lean to the ksuba of mechurorim, right? B'nei chorim, not mishubadim. Rashi. Hachalo kosa lehiskabalti vashmina masnisen the afalpisha lo kosa vlaksuba lo amrina machlo Allah. But the Mishnah's chiddush is not that if she can't forfeit it, she could forfeit it, but if you didn't write a ksuba, you don't assume that she forfeited it, unless we know she openly forfeited it. Even if he didn't write a ksuba, right, he has to give her 200, unless we know that she forfeited it. El amrin in some chaltakonis beisin, she didn't make a big stink, not because she's mochalit, because she was somech that it's a takonis beisin, she'll get a ksuba. Shakol yodim shanosi ishi yesh la ksuba. My chayiv nomi diktani men amechurari. Afa bishalo kosov lachrayis tonight beisin who lios kol nechosov achrayim la ba'odim lefonav. The Tanai Basin wasn't that his property becomes lean, that if he sells it, you can collect from the person he sold it to. But all his property is lean, meaning as long as he owns it. So that comes first off, what's it called? You can take it out of his property. But if he sold it, they can't collect from the buyers. Since it was written in the shtar, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that Achrayis is love, to sofer. Rabbi Meir holds Achrayis is lav to sofer, and therefore you can't collect from Mishubadim. The lo amrin Achrayis to sofer, who, and therefore the whole Mishnah could be like Rabbi Meir. And this Reisha is talking where a woman can't forfeit a ksuba, like Rabbi Meir. And the Sefer that says that even if you didn't lean the field, it's leaned, it doesn't mean it's leaned if you sell it. It means that all of your property is achroi to this ksuba as long as you own it. But if you sell it, you can't collect from lekuchos. No, so she says, in case you divorce me or you die, I won't collect, what's it called?
So
she says as if I was Makabla already. You notice you could pay your ksuba off it during the lifetime according to Bihud. You want to, here, I'll give it to you now, put it away in escrow, you'll have it. Right? So she says she's mochalit, as if I got it already. So if she got it already, she says no more, there's no more chiyuv. If you hold, you could forfeit. So she says, kilus kabal.
Nun aleph on the base, two dots, towards the middle. Okay, Amar Avuah de Shmuel. Eishes Yisrael shenensa asur lebayla. Normally, the halacha is that a Eishes Kohen was nanas. We have a pasuk that says that even though she committed adultery against her will, she's also to her husband. But an Eishes Yisrael who was against her will, she's normally mutter. Rav Uda Shmuel says she's also to her husband. Why? Chayshin and Shema Tchilasa Ba'olneis, the Sofa Baratzim were afraid that even though L'chatchila she was raped, but by the end of the Be'ila she already, what's it called?
Consented.
Right. Okay. Eishtei Rav Rav Uda Shmuel. Imtishtavoy afarkinach vosvinach lila into. It says the Maisa in the Yiksuba, one of the Tanayim is that if you get captured, and captured, we're afraid that she's nanas, I will redeem you and bring you back as my wife. So you see that what's it called? Eishes Yisrael is mutter. Only by a Kohen are we choshish that she was raped and then she's aser. So then he has to redeem her and bring her back to her, the place where she lived. But he can't live with her anymore. But an Eishes Yisrael could live with her. So lechori, you see that lehalacha, an Eishes Yisrael is mutter if she's raped. We're not afraid that she consented at the end of the Be'ila. Kori Rav Olei Davud Shmuel Sorim Otsu B'milim the Kaf Yosim L'Pihem. So Rav, when he heard that Avuah de Shmuel didn't answer this question, so he quoted on him this pasuk from Iyuf that Sorim Otsru B'milim, they held back their words and they put a kaf in their mouth, meaning that he held that Avuah D'Shmuel had an answer, but he didn't answer it. Could have answered something. What is it? Ma Yisrael Meimar? What could he have said? B'Shvuyah Hekilu. Over there, we're not sure that she was raped. It's just a chash. So therefore, they were makel to consider her that she wasn't raped. So Memela, what's it called? That's why she's mutter. But if we know for sure that she was raped, so then we'd be afraid that at the end of the Bia, she already consented. There was Baratzon, and therefore she's also. So therefore, the Torah is Hakamater. If we knew for sure, we've got to see in a second, that we knew for sure that she didn't consent at all, she'd be mutter. But Lahalacha were afraid that when the Bia started, it was against her will, but by the time it ended, she was, it was willful. The Gemara says, "Ulavu the Shmuel onis to Shari Rachmona hechem ishkachasla." The Maaseh, the pasuk does say that a wife of the Yisrael who's raped is mutter. Where does that apply? According to Avu the Shmuel, always choshish that maybe in the end she consented. Kigon de kaamri edim shetzov chamitchila viatzov. If we know for sure that she never consented, there are edim that tell us that she was screaming from the beginning to the end, right, of the bia. So then we know the whole thing was onus. But if are no such thing, right, we know she was raped, and there are no edim that she was screaming at the end also, then we're afraid that maybe she consented in the end. Okay, let's see Rashi till here. Tchilasa ba'onis. The beginning of that bia was taka against her will. The sofa shall be ila, and the end she consented. L'kami parech onis to shari rechmona hechem shachzla. That's the case. The Torah says that onis is mutter by an Eishes Yisrael. Where is it talking? If we're always choshish that she had rotzim in the end, so then where's the pasuk talking? Bishvuya hekilu shelo ro'inu shenivala. By a shvuya, we don't know for sure that she was nivo. So therefore, the rabbanim were mako to consider that she wasn't nivo. But in a chanami, if we knew for sure she was nivo, we'd be afraid that maybe she consented at the end of the bia. The chiko amar iu benivala. He was talking where we know for sure she was raped. There were choshesh that maybe the end of the bia was baratza. Mar says, upliga the rava. And Avuah d'Shmuel argues on rava. The Amar Rava calls it Chilasa Ba'Onis. The Sof Baratzon Afilu Hi Omeras Hanichlo Shil Mole Nizkaklo Hi Sochraso Muteres. Right, the Rava holds note that if since the beginning of that Bia was Ba'Onis, even if in the end she consented, even if the end people wanted to come and save her, and she said, "Now leave him," right? Even if he wouldn't have raped me, I would have hired him. Right? Still she's mutter. Why? My time, Yetzer al Bishur. Because that's also onus. Once she was raped and her Yetzer Hara got to her, she got this taiva, so it forced her to willfully want it. But if had she not been raped to begin with, she never would have had that ratzon. So the ratzon itself is a result of an onus. Tchiloso the onus, and sofo baratzon. This situation over here is considered onus. Okay. We have the opposite also, where a person would want to do something and then he was forced to do it. He was interested in doing it, and somebody forced him. So there are those that hold that's not called onus anymore, because you would have done it anyway. But over here, you wouldn't have done it anyway to begin with. You were forced. Now that you were forced, you got the Yetzer Hara to want to continue. That Yetzer Hara that you got to continue was forced upon you to begin with. That's also called force. Then she's still mutter to her husband. Rashi, Tchilosa Ba'onis. Okay, no. Yetzer al Bishur, the Gamza onus. Even though in the end she consented, and she even told us, "Leave the guy alone, you know, let him finish."
right? That's still called onus. Shebetchilas beila sheba onus il bisha haboel yetzer. The beila, the boel, right, clothed her with this yetzer hara, pushed it on her. So now she has the yetzer hara and she wants, but she only wants because she was forced to begin with. So everything is a result of the forcing. Okay. Tanya kavaisa the Rava. There's a brisa that says like Rava, that we're not choshesh, that or that even if in the end she was baratzon, since the beginning was onus, that's called onus. The pasuk says like this. This is the brisa. The he lo nispasa asura. Okay. It says that if a woman commits adultery and she wasn't forced, then she's asur to her husband. Ha nispasa muteris. If she was forced, then she's mutter. The yesh lo acheres afa pishalon nispasa muteris. And there is another case, right? But so we have the diuk over here. Vehi lo nispasa. Vehi lo nispasa. She wasn't forced. Mashma, if she was forced, she'd be mutter. And there's another one that even lo nispasa is mutter, because the heel on this pasa, in this case, if she wasn't forced, she's aser. But there's another case where she wasn't forced and she's mutter. Where is that? The ezuzu kosher tchilasa ba'onis sofa baratso. In the case where the chatchila she was forced, but by the end of the beila she wasn't forced, even though there was a portion of the beila where she wasn't forced, she's still mutter. That we learn from the heel on this pasa. Zirashi. The he is a mute. She who wasn't forced is aser. Mashma, somebody else who wasn't forced will be mutter. Kolomar b'stam isha amarti l'cha tam ha'iser tali b'lo nisbasa. Ha nisbasa muteras. Stam woman, forced and not forced, will make it aser or mutter. Not forced, aser, forced, mutter. But the yesh isha sha'afapisha baratza muteris. But there is a situation where even if she is not forced, she's going to be mutter. How's that? Where she wasn't forced at the end of the bia, but she was forced to the beginning of the bia. Okay. Tanya idach, another brisa, also on the same pasuk. The he lo nispasa asura, ha nispasa muteris. The yesh lo acheres shafal pishin nisposa asura. We could have another deal from this pasuk. She who wasn't forced is asur, right? But there's somebody. But if she was forced, she'll be mutter. And there's another woman who, even if she's forced, will be asur. Who's that? Ezeluzu, Eishes Kohen, wife of a Kohen, right? Even if she's forced, is asur. Om Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Mishum Rav Yishmuel. The hilo nisposa, another diuk. The hilo nisposa asura. Ha nisposa muteris. The yesh lacheres afabi shalom nisposa muteris. There's another one, another case, where even if she's not forced, she's gonna be mutter. How's that? Right? The ezuzuk, kedushe tos. Where the original marriage, right, was a kedushe tos. So she didn't become usher to her husband because he wasn't her husband. And now she's still mutter to him. Okay? In other words, she had Shafilu Binam Mukavak Seifa. She got married, she had children. But it turned out that the first Kedusha was no Kedusha. Kedusha Tos. Mima'enes Vaholechasla. She just walked out of the marriage because there's no marriage. Right? In other words, the husband married her, what's it called, thinking that she didn't have Mumim and she had Mumim. And he didn't find out till later, something like that. Some thing where the Kedusha is a complete toast. So the Mafreya, she never was married. Now, if she committed adultery before they found out that it's Kedusha toast, she thought she was married. Even though she did it willingly, she doesn't become usher to her husband, because it's not her husband. She's not a married woman. Okay. Rashi. Kedusha toast, al tnai. Veloniskayim atnai. He married her on condition, and the condition was never fulfilled. Im zinsa tachtov, if what's it called, during the time that they she thought she was married, she was mezana, she's the mutter. Visha ena ishto, ela pnuya, bialmahi. She never was married. She's an unmarried woman. Okay. Omer of Yehuda. Hani noshi de ganvu, ganvi, sharin liguvrai. Right, when the ganovim used to, what's it called, steal women away from their husband, and force them to live with them. So they're mutter that the act of that husband, because every time that they live with them, it's against their will. Amrei Rabban Rav Yehuda v'hakam miyon lohu nahama, right? L'maisa they watch matiyon lohu nahama. They serve them. You see that they're willing. They're doing it willingly, right? In other words, they capture them and kidnap them and make them live with them and serve them. Mora says machmas yira. They do that because they're afraid that they'll kill them. I v'hakam mishalken lu gire. Right, machmasira. They even when the ganovim are what's it called shooting their arrows, right? They give them the arrows to shoot. So you see that they're willingly doing this. Morris says no, it's also machmasira. Vaday shafkinu va'azla minafshayu asurim. But however, if we know that the ganov said, "Look, you can go home if you want," and the woman said, "No, I think I'll stay here," then we don't say on this that chilasu ba'onis v'sofa baratzon. Chilasu ba'onis v'sofa baratzon is only in that bia. Right, if forced, or the end of the bia is also considered an illness. But if, what's it called, she was forced for one bia, and then she said, you know what, I think I'll stay around for the next one, that's already, the next bia is considered rotzer. Tonu Rabbanan, Shvuyei Malchus arein k'shvuyim. Right, Shvuyei Malchus are considered like Shvuyim, and the Shvuya hekilu. Right, by a Shvuya they were mekel. But Genuvei listis einam k'shvuyim. But when they're captured by Ganovim, they're not what's it called considered like a shavui. Rashi. V'hakamamtin hani noshi the ganvu ganvi shalistin gondin machmas mitachas balein. They're kidnapped. Shari ligavrael if yishuba only saying boy nalein. When they come back to their husbands, they're mutter because everything was forced. You see, they serve their kidnappers. He says, no, that's Mishani Machmas Yiruhudov, and they do it because they're afraid they'll kill them. When the robbers are in a shootout with the police, so they give them the arrows to shoot. Mizamnos Moshitas Lenchitz and Liros. Versus Vade Ishavkinu Ganov Lelechas Obaleyam, the Ilun Azlum in Afshai, well, I Ganovim Ashirin. However, if we know that the Ganovim told them you can go home, and they didn't go home, they stayed there, then you can't say it's Nachmas Yira, they had a chance to escape, and they didn't, then they, what's it called, then they're also. Shvuye Malchus, Noshim Sheshova Melech Tashmish. Like Achashverish, right? Captured women to live with them. Hari henkishvu, you know, mutar love them, they're mutter to their husbands. Kidisnan vosninach lili into, right? By Ashes Israel, she mutter. Says not so good, but listim is not. They're awesome. Okay? Vasamar says, Vatanya Ibcha, he's learned just the opposite. Malchus Avatsakan, that Malchus is not like Shvuyim, and listim is yet. Okay? Vasamar says, Malchus Amalchus Lokasha, Hoba Malchus Achashverish, Hoba Malchus Ben Netzer. Right? By Malchus Achashverish, Henke Shvuyim. Because that's, what's it called, the woman knows that she'll never get out of there. She's forced. Levisha Melech Godelhu, Rashi, Vyodas, Shelo Yisoena, Ubilosa Baonis. She knows there's no chance that Achashverish is going to marry her. She's going to be one of his harem. So therefore, what's it called? It's Baonis. But Ben Netzer listed Hoya, the Lokar Iros, he captured cities, Umolach Aleim. The Nasa Rosh listim. Uv Diday Tnan Shvuyim Malchus Enum Kishvuyim Vasuras Lebalehem. The Sovra Minsav Konosiv Lov and Nivelus Baratzon. She says maybe he'll marry me, so she lives with him Baratzon. So therefore, even though he's considered like a Malchus, even though he's a Ganav, but he had his own there's a mafia. There, it's not considered Baonis. Listim Listus Alistus Lokasha Hobe Ben Netzer. Legabe habam listim the alma, right? And regular listim, they're afraid. But by Ben Netzer, they're not afraid. They'll think maybe he'll marry her, right? Mar says Ben Netzer hashem korle melech v'hakah kor listim. Ben Netzer in the first price was called a melech, and the second price is called listim. Which is it? Mar says in gabe achashverish listimu. Legabe achashverish Ben Netzer was a stam ganav, but legabe listim he's considered a melech. Because he's not just a run-of-the-mill kidnapper, right? This guy has his own business. Listus al listus, the netzer asuros kedamirin, the savra minsev nosivli, the harayen ishid melech. Listim di alma, feel the kuchim shalo koshim la, right? Even getting married to Stama Ganav is no big deal. So she doesn't want to get married to the Ganav. But Ben Netzer, he was a big shot, right? Get married to the godfather, that's a big deal. Get married to Stam, some schnook, Ganav, kidnapper, that not. No, because we don't write this in the Ksuba. It's not put in writing. It's a Tznai Ksuba that's not written. In our Nusach, we don't write this into the Ksuba. It's just to consider the Tznai, automatic Tznai. It's not put. They don't read this under the chuppah, you know, what's it called, in case you're captured or whatever. It's not in the Ksuba.